Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. My name is Lori. If we haven't met yet, I'm one of the pastors here. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you all. Glad you could be here with us this morning and remembered 10 a.m. And if you're joining us online at a cottage or a camper or something, welcome to you as well. I'm excited for this morning, and I gotta say, I love a good party. Anybody else with me? It's that time of year. Maybe you're going to have a party tomorrow for Memorial Day weekend. I love a good yard party. I love surprise parties, as long as they're not for me. I just love all those things. I love that we're in a season right now where we've been invited to, at minimum, a gazillion open house parties. And so, not complaining, it's fantastic. And let me just say that Denny and I are eating good this spring, okay? It's just been a really great season for us. But today, we're going to be in the book of Exodus 23, as well as Leviticus 23. And what we're going to be talking about is, to a group of former slaves, God gives this command to rest and party as foundational rhythms of what it means to follow him and live for him and to live free. Now, this topic here of rest is something that's not new to us. I'm cueing, but I'm not. I must have missed the magic finger. Thank you. this topic of rest is something that isn't new to us. It has been like a common reoccurrence over the last couple of years. As a matter of fact, when I saw the text that I was assigned for this morning, Greg happened to be walking by my office, and I said, "We're talking about that again?" And so just know, like, we went through the book of Genesis. Maybe some of you were here with us for that, where we saw from the very rhythm of creation, God said there was evening and there was morning on the first day and the second day and so on. His intention, his heart for us, was to work out of our rest, not the other way around. Then recently we talked about the Ten Commandments and that fourth commandment, again, around rest, to practice Sabbath, to remember that day and to keep it holy, to set it apart. And now here we are again talking about rest. Excuse me. I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, when I'm tired, I'm the best version of myself. I mean, I say all the right things. My level of self-awareness is really high. I have lots of patience. You know, when you mix Lori with tired and being hungry, and I am a pure delight to be around. Not true. Not true at all, right? And I'm guessing it's not true for you either. And so this kind of has me thinking, this topic, this reoccurring topic, throughout all of Scripture, really, of rest. Maybe this really, really matters. Maybe God knew how hard it would be for us to actually stop work for a minute and just rest. Maybe he knew that we would be easily distracted from what matters most. It's as if he knew this, that rest, if we could just rest from our work to play, reset, it would lead to a reset of our minds and our hearts and our bodies, which would lead to reconnect with God and the people around us. And so while today, as we talk about seven parties, along with another what is sometimes referred to as a feast, there's eight altogether, while we talk about these parties in the Old Testament, and we know God doesn't ask us to practice these anymore, I think it's important that we understand what they were and what God intended for them, and how they point to Jesus, because all those things then will help us to further know the heart of God. And that is worth our time. Would you agree? Yeah. And so I wanted to share a quote with you from an early Christian theologian. His name was St. Augustine. He said this: "The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed, and the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed." I love that. And I want to invite us to kind of enter into this Old Testament text this morning with that mindset. So let's get started. Exodus 23, starting at verse 10. "For 6 years, you're to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove." You know, I hadn't thought about this before, but this whole idea here of God saying on the seventh year, even the land gets a rest. Isn't that interesting? Even the land, in a sense, is a slave. It has been working and is being worked. And God says, free the land so that the poor may reap its benefit. Beautiful, right? Now, the next few verses go on to say and kind of lay out three parties that they're to have annually. But this is where we're going to make a pivot to Leviticus 23, because this gives us like a panoramic view of all seven of the annual festivals. It's as if God is saying in Leviticus 23, get out your calendars, write these in, and save the date. These are going to be important. These were all important times where they were going to meet up with God in a really special way. And being that it's a family service this morning and a holiday weekend, I decided to recruit 8 kids to help me preach this morning. And so would you give them a hand as they come up? Come on up, guys, with your party bags. They're gonna all find their places. Don't smile, whatever you do. Just kidding. Some of you are so serious, right? I think I'm gonna sit here just because I don't wanna be in your way. Does that work? All right, cool. So here's what we're gonna do. Each one of these party bags has something in it that symbolizes the text that we're going to read that lays out these invitations that God has for us. And so I'm gonna ask Abby to open her bag first. Abby, what do you have in your bag? Ah, a pillow. Oh, you're gonna show my vintage side too. 74, it's a good year. All right, so this, let's just look at the text a minute and see what a pillow has to do with what God is instructing his people. Leviticus 23, starting at verse 1, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." So this first one is Sabbath. It was a weekly occurrence that happened from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. And what they did was rest. But they also played and partied. They would share meals together that they prepared the day before, and they would worship and make offerings to the Lord. And what's really cool is that God modeled this for us. If you go back to Genesis 1, we see that when God created the world, he too rested on the seventh day. Now, Abby, there was something that's a common denominator between all these things we're talking about today that God said not to do. What was that one thing? To not work. That's right, because the Sabbath was meant to rest and reset and reconnect. All right, let's move on to Andrew. What do you got in bag number two? Oh, it's a lamb. Okay. Pretty soft. Pretty nice, yeah. All right, let's see what the text has to say about this one. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the month. And so this first annual festival that God is encouraging them to celebrate is called Passover. Passover was a time for them to remember and to celebrate a really important event that happened that we actually studied not too long ago. The 10 plagues that God used to free his people out of Egypt and into freedom, that 10th plague was a doozy. You guys know what it was? It's okay if you don't. All right. What they did was God, through Moses, told his people to take the blood of a one-year-old unblemished lamb and to take that blood and to put it over the doorpost of their homes so that when the angel of death made its way all throughout Egypt and took the lives of the firstborn sons of Egypt, the angel of death would actually pass over their homes because the blood of the lamb was covering it. This was a day to remember that amazing night. And what they would do is they would rest, they'd spend time with family and friends, they'd retell the story of that night, and they would roast a lamb, and they would actually sprinkle the blood on the doorpost as a way of remembering that night. They would worship, offer sacrifices, all of this to have a time of rest and reconnection in obedience to God. And how this points to Jesus is that Jesus is said to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, when he shed his blood on the cross, covered our sin and saved us. He rescued us. And what's really cool is that when Jesus was in Jerusalem on his last few days of being on the earth, he was in a room gathered with his disciples to celebrate this festival, to celebrate Passover. So they were there eating different elements, reminding them of the bitterness of slavery when Jesus said, I'm going to do something new here. And that's when he took the bread and he gave thanks and he said, this bread is like my body. Do this in remembrance of me. All these things that they were taking for the meal to remember back, God says, I'm doing something new. Remember this. Remember my body given for you. And then he took the cup and poured wine in it and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, what was the one thing that they were not to do during Passover? And work, yes, because Passover was a day to rest and reset and reconnect. All right, let's check out what's in bag three. Lila, what do you have? Tortilla. It doesn't look like a very tasty piece of bread, does it? Although when you saw it, you're like, can I eat this afterwards? Didn't you? All right, let's look at the text and see what this has to do with the text here. Verse 6, on the 15th day of the month, so just the very next day after Passover, was the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, you must eat bread without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord, and on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This was called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. It means no yeast. In my opinion, it doesn't taste very good. But what they did at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, what it was for was to remember how they left in such a hurry that night. There was no time for bread to rise. And so what they would do is actually remove all the leavened items from their home. They did not want a crumb left in their home. And they would eat bad bread, in my opinion, all week. But they would also rest and retell stories of those evenings and the escape out of Egypt. And they would worship and offer sacrifices to the Lord. And what is a restriction that they absolutely had to follow? No work. That's right. Because the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the intention was rest, reset, and reconnect. All right, Camille, what do you have in your bag? Some grain. Interesting. Let's check out the text and see what's next. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after Sabbath. You want to practice waving that for us, Camille? It's kind of messy, right? Yeah. So this is what's called the Festival of the First Fruits. And what it was a festival to celebrate the first harvest grain of their spring season. And what they did was brought their first fruits, their very best, as an offering before the Lord. And of course, they rested and spent time with family and friends and worshiped God. Now, what's really cool is how this points to Jesus. Remember what we talked about, how the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed? Well, the first fruits, Jesus is actually referred to as the first fruits. In 1 Corinthians, I'm really testing my memory here, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, where Paul talks about Jesus being the first fruits of those who fall asleep or those who die. And what that means is that Jesus, when he died, did he stay dead? No, he didn't. He rose again. So first fruits actually has such a bigger meaning. It has to do with the resurrection, the rising again of Jesus that we celebrate on Easter. And the fact that if we believe in God, we too will rise. So that's what that one's all about. So what did they not do on the Festival of First Fruits, Camille?
Work.
No work for them. The Festival of Fruits was a time to rest, reset, and reconnect. All right, Landon, what do you got? Ooh, better looking bread than what she had, right? So we got two loaves of bread here that you're excited to take home because you asked if they were fresh. I'm like, yep, I just bought them yesterday. You're good. All right, let's go to the text and see what the two loaves of bread have to do with this story. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days, that's a key number here, up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. And so this festival is called the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, which means 50. This was a festival to celebrate the grain offering in that season and to remember the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And so what they would do is they would rest and spend time with their family and friends, and they would eat good bread, right? And other good foods, and remember what God did for them. And they'd make offering and animal sacrifices as well on that day. How does that point us to Jesus? Well, that 50 may be a little flag for some of us, but we know from Acts 2 in the New Testament that Jesus, after 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, Pentecost happened, which means they were all gathered for this festival, but something new happened again. And it kind of resembled the giving of the law. If you remember the giving of the law, there was thunder and lightning and violent wind and fire. And what we know from Acts 2 is something similar happened. There was a violent wind and something like tongues of fire came down and rested on the people. And they began to speak in different languages. And so this festival of the weeks reminds us that it's a picture, really, of God's future harvest. When the word of God, the good news of Jesus, spreads through all tribes and nations, and we'll all return to him one day. And what did they not do on the festival of weeks? Work. They didn't work. Not a bad thing, right? I think that we could get used to the Jewish calendar here. Good food, mostly, and no work. This is great. That's right, because the Festival of Weeks was a time to rest, reset, and reconnect. All right, what's next? Kai, what do you have? A trumpet. Does it work? No, not really. Okay. All right, let's see what the text has to say about trumpets. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." So this was known as the Festival of Trumpets. And basically what it was a time to reflect and remember on how they knew when to go and when to stop and encamp when they were being led through the wilderness. They heard trumpets. God was leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they would hear trumpets. And so this festival was to remember the faithfulness of God and how he led them. And so what did they do? Of course, they rested and spent time with their family and friends and had good food, but they also, what do you think, Kai? Think they blew some trumpets? Absolutely, they blew trumpets. And so that kind of represented three different things. One, it was like a call to gather and worship. It was also a call to turn from their sin and turn toward God. We call that repentance. And it was also a sign of the new civil year. Here's what I mean by that. The Jewish calendar counted things two different ways. There was a religious spiritual calendar, so to speak, that started at Passover. Remember, that was declared the first month. But there was also this civil calendar. So we can kind of think of it like we have our normal calendar, right? January through December. But many of us in our workplaces have a fiscal calendar as well, right? And so that's kind of a way to kind of think about that. How did that point to Jesus? Well, I want to say it was 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul talks about Jesus. He will one day descend from heaven, and there will be loud shouts and trumpet blasts. So often, we remember Jesus and his return when we think of trumpets. And Kai, what did they not do on the Festival of Trumpets? Work. They did no work. It was a festival and a time set aside to rest, reset, and reconnect once again. Still awake down there? Awesome. What's in your bag, buddy? Oh, show everybody. It's a goat. This is getting weird. Okay, let's check out the text. Let's see what it says. The Lord said to Moses, "The 10th day of this seventh month is a day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day because it is the day of atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. So this party was a little less of a party and a more solemn day, really. It was called the Day of Atonement. And atonement means to restore a broken relationship, often through sacrifice or forgiveness. We can kind of think of atonement, you can break up that word and think of atonement as at-one-ment. We want to be at one with God, right? But sin breaks our relationship and separates us from him. And that's why atonement, forgiveness, is necessary. And so what they did on this day is really interesting. Like I said, it started out more solemn and sad than it did a party. But they fasted and they prayed and they reflected on their sins and confessed their sins. And the priest would go through multiple cleansing rituals as a way to consecrate himself. And then they would bring a goat into the community. And the priest would lay his hands on the goat as a way of transferring the sin of the people and confessing the sin of the people and the wickedness of the people onto the goat. And then the goat was led by an appointed person, a non-Jew, a Gentile, way out into the wilderness. Now, why would they be led way out? Well, they don't want that goat coming back in their backyard 3 days later, right? So they're gonna wanna lead that thing way far away from them. But the people watched their sins, in a sense, be carried away from them. Now, there is a Jewish commentary called the Mishnah that says, adds a little more detail and actually says the person appointed to bring that goat out into the wilderness would actually go a step further and push it over a cliff as a way of being sure that thing is not coming back. Regardless of what happened to the goat, this turns into a party. Because they have just been forgiven. They've watched their sins be carried away. And they worship and eat good food and offer more sacrifices and all of the things. How does this point to Jesus? Jesus is referred to as our scapegoat. When he sacrificed himself, when he allowed himself the willingness to do that and be on the cross, our sins are transferred onto Jesus, and he carries them away once and for all. And so what happened, Owen, on that Day of Atonement? They rested, but what did they not do? No work, that's right. The Day of Atonement was the day to rest and reset and reconnect. All right, last one, who's down there? Okay, your turn, go ahead. Jace, open that sucker up. What is it, the suspense? Woo, whoa, what is it? A tent, okay. So this represents the Festival of Tabernacles. If you want to read about it, you can see it in verse 33 through 36. But what it was a celebration to remember how God provided shelter for them. And so what they would do is build tents. Some biblical translations even say it's the festival of booths, like a booth at a restaurant, because they built these booths or these tents, and they camped for a week. Who likes camping? Lots of us do, right? It's this fun party. So they go camping, and they remember how God provided for them in the wilderness and how he dwelt with them. And how this points to Jesus is, again, the Apostle Paul, at it again, he refers to our bodies as tents and says that when we believe in Jesus, God, through the Holy Spirit, lives and dwells in us. And one day, our tents will be no more, right? But we can live with God forever and dwell with him forever in a new tent, a new home. So that's a lot of parties, isn't it? A lot of parties throughout the year. If God is unchanging, which he is, the Bible tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that God's heart for you guys, for your parents, for me, hasn't changed. His heart is for us to work hard and use the gifts that he has called us to and practice rhythms of rest that ground us, that keep us connected to him and to each other. How many of us got woken up about 2 weeks ago from quite a storm that rolled through our city? Like the tornado sirens are going off. Anybody else wake up? How many ran downstairs? I didn't actually. Okay, how many of ran outside so they could see better? Oh yeah, okay, that's the most of us, yeah. That's what I did first till I started hearing like the hail hit the window. Then I'm like, okay, maybe I should go downstairs. But at first I'm in the sunroom and I'm just seeing the lightning show. And it began to just kind of burn my eyes a little bit because there was just, it was so bright. It reminded me of God, right? But here's what happens. In the morning, it was quite a mess in some neighborhoods. And I want to show you this branch. It's like a branch that comes off from a tree. And at first, you can go look at that branch, and it really doesn't look much different, right? A couple of days later, the leaves still look green. But after several days and a week or two pass, the leaves begin to look like this. Brown, brittle, they begin to completely fall off. And I think that's a really good picture and reminder of rest and what rest does for us. It grounds us. It keeps us connected to the power source. Why does the branch die? Because it's no longer connected to its source of life. And God is our source of life, and he invites us to stay connected to him. Can I have that next slide? I'm wondering if some of you feel this today. I'd like to practice this rest and, you know, reset, reconnect thing, but my circumstances tell a different story. You're busy. Maybe you have young families. Maybe you're taking care of elderly parents. I feel that. We all have busy lives. And at the same time, I think the Israelites could relate to, because nothing in their circumstances would tell them they were okay. They were in the wilderness, hungry, and had to continually trust God each and every day for bread from heaven called manna. And God provided. And then on the sixth day, they actually collected for 2 days so that they could rest and not have to collect on that last day. But it reminds us of just how much trust it takes to rest, doesn't it? Because when we stop working, the work doesn't get done, right? And so much like our physical muscles that we have to flex and have to lift to practice and to build our physical muscles, the same is true with our spiritual muscles. We have to learn to trust God. And one of the ways we can do that is to trust him enough to stop working and to practice rest. This message is not about a bunch of lists of you ought to and you should. It's not you ought to do this or you should do that. It's an invitation to once again recognize God's desire for you to stay connected to him and to rest and then to work out of his power. Did you know this, that God actually delights not only in your achieving, but you're resting? Isn't that incredible? And so I don't know what other advice to give you as one of your pastors who loves you and wants to see you thrive, other than to just think about what your next step is in practicing this rhythm of rest, whatever it looks like for you. I want to just pose this question. What intentional rhythm will you start or expand upon to experience more of God's goodness in your life through rest and reset and reconnect? Maybe for some of you, it's just to put that rectangle lifeline away for maybe an hour a night. Or maybe it's an entire Saturday morning till noon, a time to just resist work and just be more present with God and the people you love most. Maybe for some of you, you're ready to declare a day. You're ready to jump in. And for you, it's going to mean more than just declaring the day. It's going to mean some planning. Because anything that you consider work, whether that's groceries, bills, laundry, all the extra things that we do beyond our work day, have to get done during the week or a weeknight before your declared day. It's gonna take some effort, but you can do it and you won't be sorry. It'll be a day you look forward to. I also just recognize that there's a lot of families and there's also a lot of aunts and uncles and grandparents in this space this morning. And I want to just mention a great family resource. It's you can visit goodkind.shop. And it has great resources like Graticubes. There's these cubes that you can roll and practice gratitude in your home. There's Easter and Advent cubes. And there's also what they call a Sabbath kit, where you can practice Sabbath with your family. It's a time to, you know, all week you're going to create and cultivate, but you can change that cover on the box when you're ready to Sabbath. And it says, stop and enjoy. And it's got lots of great resources and even a prayer that you can say with your family once you're ready to kind of close up your rest time or rest day and get back at it to the work of creating and cultivating goodness in this world that God calls us to. Bottom line is rest, I think, is far less about a call away from work and more about a call to something. It is a call to a more whole life, a more peaceful life, and a more fruitful life. And that, friends, is out of the goodness of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in this space, that we could use these props to remember again your faithfulness to the Israelites and your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you invite us to remain in you, stay connected to you so that we can bear much fruit and experience your peace and the abundant life that you desire for us. And so God, as we go, would you help us just to ponder what this looks like for each of us individually, knowing that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that this is simply an invitation, a call to rest and play. A time to reset our minds and bodies and our hearts, and a time to reconnect once again with you, our loving, gracious, faithful God, who's blessed us with many friends and family around us to love and reconnect with as well. We give this time to you and offer ourselves as an offering. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.